This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
My name is Paul Woods, and I'm here with Liz Guzman, and we're going to interview Dr. Cristobal Espinosa. He's a Chilean astronomer, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his work. So, what are you working on at the moment, Cristobal?
At the moment, I'm working on... Well, I work on pulsars, first of all, and... I'm continuing my work that I did during my PhD, which is about the spin evolution of pulsars. So we are trying to find out how pulsars slow down and how this process changes on time. So very young pulsars slow down very rapidly, but very old pulsars slow down slower.
Could you tell us a little bit more what's a pulsar?
Yeah, sure. So a pulsar is what remained after a supernova explosion. A pulsar is actually a neutron star, which is a very, very small, compact body, which is about the size of Manchester, but it's heavier than the sun, and it's rotating very, very fast. And it emits pulses, or what we see as pulses, because it works at something like a lighthouse. So we see pulses when this light beam crosses the Earth. That we can measure the rotation and study how this evolves and many other things.
So why do they spin down?
They spin down because they have a very high magnetic field, and this is producing a break. So the star is slowing down because of an electromagnetic breaking. And the problem is that this is a very simple model, but it doesn't actually predict very well what we observe. We observe completely different stuff. We're trying to find out what's going on.
Yeah. So how does measuring the timing of these pulses give us information about the star itself?
So every time this light beam crosses the Earth, it means one rotation of the pulsar. So we write down the time that pulse crossed the Earth. So we know how that pulsar was rotating at a particular time. And we do that several times, 3 years, so we can actually monitor how the pulsar has been rotating and what's doing, actually with a very high precision.
So I guess in general these pulses are very regular, but are there occasions when this regularity breaks down?
Yeah, so very young pulsars are very messy. They don't rotate as smooth as you might think. They do many things, and one of the things they do, for example, that which we study here, these are called glitches, which is when the pulsar suddenly spins up. So it's slowing down normally, but then it's rotating faster than before. And after this, it starts slowing down again, continuing the former trend. And these are glitches, and we believe they are caused because there's a super fluid inside the star, it's not slowing down as the crust of the star. There is a crust and there is a interior superfluid, and the superfluid keeps rotating faster than the crust. So sometimes the superfluid is reminded to slow down, and it does, but then it has to give some angular momentum to the crust, and we see it as a glitch.
How long are these glitches?
Well, nobody really knows, but they are very short. Okay. So less than a minute, and then suddenly the star is rotating faster.
Wow. And this only happen with young ones, or is it, do you see?
Well, all pulsars can glitch, okay. But young ones glitch more often, so yeah, we have a lot of glitches for young pulsars, but not many for old pulsars. Mm-hmm. Young pulsars also have the largest glitches and more spectacular ones.
And so many of these pulsars are observed using the telescope out at Jodl Bank. So what is it about the Lovell telescope that makes it very good for observing pulsars?
Well, it's big. Oh, the Lovell telescope is very big. It's one of the biggest, so that helps us a lot too, because it's a big collecting area, so we don't need to observe every pulsar for too long. And in particular, the Lovell telescope is very good for us because we have a lot of time to use it. So we actually, currently, we monitor about 600 pulsars at Jodl Bank.
Wow.
And there's a big database which contains data for 600 pulsars for about 20, for some pulsars even 40 years.
Wow.
So it's a very important database. And I think it's possible because we can use the telescope very regularly.
Yeah. Are there any other telescopes in the world that you use for this monitoring?
Yes, we don't use it directly, but we use it. We apply for time for PARCS. We use PARCS. PARCS observes a lot of pulsars too. And there's also Green Bank. Effelsberg started observing pulsars now. And the Italians are building a new telescope, which is going to observe pulsars too.
And so I guess the PARCS telescope lets you observe the southern sky, right? So are the pulsars spread uniformly throughout the entire sky, or are they concentrated in one region?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Most pulsars are on the plane of the galaxy, because they are relatively young compared to galaxy timescales. So they're young, so they are on the plane. And so PARCS is a lot better than Jodel, because you can see the whole galaxy. But millisecond pulsars, which is a old population, they are distributed pretty much uniformly in all the sky. And these millisecond pulsars are actually very important for pulsar timing arrays, which are trying to detect gravitational waves.
Could you explain us a little bit more about gravitational waves and how are they going to detect them?
Well, this is just perturbations in the space and time due to the changes in the gravitational field. And these waves, which is like the change of space-time going through space, well, this passes Earth and everything, and if all pulsars around the Earth, if we have an array of pulsars, we can use them to detect that this wave passed through the pulsars, the Earth, and everything. So we believe that we should be able to find some correlation in the data using several pulsars and detect one of these waves, which would be amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
Wow. Well, thank you very much for the interview. It sounds really interesting. And yeah, let us know later how does it go and if we find the gravitational waves and everything.
Sure.